Good afternoon. You are tuned to XL Radio with Baby Zan. Here for our 10th episode. If this is your first time tuning in, welcome. XL Radio is a weekly podcast celebrating diversity in music, bringing you stories of musical practice and cultural heritage from artists around the world. We are currently listening to Emmanuel Yamane with the song Delayer, selected by the Musicians of Music Yard, who will be joining us today for a guest curation of the playlist. And Haftu Rita is coming by for an interview. So for the next hour, we will be coasting through conversation with Haftu and tunes that Music Yard has selected.
عين واري مع انت خرالي كالوغلو بينك حدري كابقى بركي كل تعصرت كواس لكي سدراخ حتيتي دلعي سخ دلعي سخ دلعي سخ دلعي دلعي كوني مساي دلعي سخ دلعي سخ دلعي سخ دلعي
To start off, I wanted to ask Haftu a few questions about his experience growing up in Ethiopia.
Yeah, I'm growing in the northern part of Ethiopia. It's a region called Tigray region. And we are struggling for 17 years for the Ethiopian government. There is a military dictator there, and we are fighting that region, only the northern part. In the northern part of the Tigray region. And most of the time when the freedom fighters, they are fighting, especially to attract for the youngster, they use the very attractive music to attract and to join the army. And especially the five string instrument called krar and the single string called masinko. It's like a single violin. They play this instrument widely during the freedom fighting. We hear some of the songs, we listen to some of the songs of these freedom fighters, and we try to make a krar and the masinko by ourselves and to practice. And starting from that, when I was in grade 6, just some starting that one, and after I complete my education, I get a good result, and I join Addis Ababa University in the capital city of Ethiopia. It's a big university. Or after that, there is a cultural center in Addis Ababa University. And I joined the club there, and I improved how to play the krar and the masinko in a very well condition. After that, I'm playing with different bands in my country. Especially, I play the krar, the five string instrument, and then I play a single instrument called masinko, like a single violin. It's made up of from string gold, and the string is made up from horse tail hair. And then I'm coming for scholarship to Australia in 2013, and I joined the Simon C. Council Center band there. I play till now, almost for 6-7 years with the band. When there is a fundraising for Asylum Seeker Resource Center, I participate in the band in different areas, and then I join two bands, Music Yard Band, and the other one is Africa Traditional Ensemble Band. Mm-hmm. I play with these two bands also. I participate in Tasmania in the Monafauna two times a year, and in Melbourne Jazz festivals, and in different festivals I participate there.
Yeah. So did you learn all these instruments in school when you were in Ethiopia, or was it something you learnt just at home with your family?
No, it's not in school. Because there is a fighting between the Ethiopian government and the freedom fighter from my region. The freedom fighters, they sing, you know, to attract the youngsters to join the army. Mm-hmm. And we listen to these music, and we try to make by ourselves, you know, not in school, but by ourselves when our kids to play the krar, we make from piece of wood and some strings, and we started to play that one. And then after I started playing krar, and I tried to make by myself the masinko, single string violin, and then I practiced that one. And I joined the university. In the university there is a club. It's a club, music club, cultural club, and I play with them also.
Mm. Was the music you were making, was this quite political music as well? Because I know the music from the Freedom Fighters is often, quite politically charged.
Yeah. Not politically. Just because it's the Freedom Fighters, they are not control the region. They are not controlling the region. It's administered by the Ethiopian government. So not the fighting music, but only the cultural, you know, about love, mostly because a devastating effect is happening in my region. So our songs are to be peaceful, to solve the problem, to be love each other, to be united to one nation, and it's like that, not politically.
Mm. I read quite a bit about the government using music as a way to try entice youth into becoming freedom fighters. Was this something you found when you were living there?
Yeah, they do like that. The music is very attractive, you know. So most of the youngsters, they are attracted by this music and they join the army. But in my case, not too much like that, because that time I'm a student, not to join the army, but my futurity to be to complete my education and to be going to the university, you know, for fighting at that time.
Mm. Can I ask what you study at university when you were there?
I'm studying civil construction. I have a bachelor's degree in civil construction and a bachelor's degree in law.
Mm. Is that something you have started doing in Australia as well?
Yeah, after that I'm coming for scholarship. When I came to in 2013 to Australia, I'm a secondary year student in my country in construction and management in the master's program. I'm second year when I was coming for scholarship to Australia. And I came to Australia taking some training in leadership. Just because our country's education system is adapted from Australia. The technical specialty is supported by the Australian government. And I'm coming here for the leadership of, like, in Australia called TEF, in our country called TBT, Technical Vocational and Educational Training. Because when I was in my country, I'm a construction expert today. I'm working as a construction expert. So I'm coming for leadership training here in Australia.
Mm. How have you found the move from Ethiopia to here and trying to re-establish yourself, both doing construction and in the music community?
Yeah, after I came here a little bit, it's not an easy thing to get a job, but after 1 year, I joined to DC Construction. It's a construction company. I'm working for 3 years there as a permanent worker. So it is a good chance because the owner of the company is a very good man, his name is David. So he supports me and I'm working hard in the construction industry. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I finished in Australia also in civil construction, certificate 3. In addition to my bachelor's degree. So it's good, it's good, not too bad, yeah. And then after that, I work there, I bring my family here, my wife and my kids here. Yeah, it's good.
So did you first come here by yourself then?
Yeah, I came for a scholarship.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm coming for a scholarship, but because the situation in my country, again, it's changed, you know, into a bad situation. There is a lot of conflicts, you know, between the ethnic groups again. So, most of my brothers are dead there. Two of my brothers are dead there. So because of that, if I go back again to my home country, it's a bad situation.
We're going to have a quick dive now into one of Music Yard's tracks. This one is called Sabata.
Thank you.
found finding a new community in Australia?
The Australian people are, they are very welcome people. They are kind people, you know. Just when we see, you know, our culture and Australian culture, it's there is a big difference. Australian people are very welcome people, you know. They are very kind people. They are helping people. Even in Australia, there are a lot of ethnic, means more than 200 languages spoken here.
Mm.
But they are living united, you know. As their difference is like a mosaic. It's a good energetic and diversity is their beauty, you know. It's a good country, I think.
Yeah. And how did you come into contact with the musicians that have made up Music Yard now?
One of the members of Music Yard is a voluntary in asylum resource in asylum seeker resource center.
Mm.
He's a voluntary to teach the asylum seeker people in music to refresh their minds. And because I joined with them when I was there in the asylum seeker resource center as a refugee. I joined the team of the asylum seeker music band. So one of the voluntary in asylum seeker is one of the member of the music yard, and I joined with music yard. After that, even now I play with the asylum seeker resource center band. When there are fundraisings or something else, I'm a voluntary. Or I'm working with them. But because Music Yard is found, he is a voluntary, one of our voluntary in Asylum Seeker, so I do need to in the band.
Mm. And playing in the band, in the Asylum Seeker Resource Band, I can imagine that would be a huge amount of different instruments and cultures being used together.
Yeah, it's very nice, you know, it sounds very good, you know. Just you go to what you call different, towns and cities here in Melbourne, in Victoria. You go to Geelong, you go to Bendigo, to different areas, you know, for fundraising, for asylum seeker resource center. So there are a lot of people there. They have different skills and they play different instruments, different music. So it's very nice. I learn a lot of things from there. From them also.
Mm. And the music from Music Yard, is that a mixture of music? Because I understand you're from Ethiopia, but the other musicians are from other parts of Africa?
Yeah, from Eritrea, from Ethiopia, yes, from Australia also, yeah.
Yeah. And so is the music, I guess, just a fusion of all of the different countries, or would you say there's one genre that kind of sticks out more?
Yeah, it's the music is pentatonic type, especially from Sudan, from Eritrea, from Somalia, especially East African music. Most of the time we play East African music. Yeah.
And how have you found performing your music to a predominantly Western audience in Melbourne?
Yeah, especially in Melbourne, and when we go to outside of Melbourne, we go to Sydney in to Tasmania and to Adelaide also to perform some festivals there. So they are very happy, you know, because our instruments are very soft and the sound of the instruments are very nice. So most of the people, they are very happy in our music, and they appreciate us, and they support us. It's good, yeah.
Incredible. And does Music Yard have any upcoming projects for the next few months?
Last time we have a plan to go to Tasmania before the COVID-19 is happening here. We are cancelling a little bit some programs. Yeah, we have some programs in Tasmania and in Adelaide a little bit, because of the situation, it's cancelled now.
Mm. Have you found this time a intense time for both playing music? I guess there's been a lot of isolation and home time during COVID-19.
Yeah, a little bit is very hard for us, but sometimes I'm singing to my kids and to my wife here at home. Yeah, sometimes, you know, if you are playing some instruments, you know, your happiness, your sadness, your everything, and you can play with the instruments and a little bit, you feel very, you know, you feel good, you know. It's like music is so good medicine.
Huge thank you to Haftu for that chat. And thank you to Music Yard for providing the songs for the rest of this hour, which we will be diving into now. You're currently listening to Teddy Afro. Teddy Afro is from Ethiopia and is a musician very much famed for his political commentary. He's had quite a few major hits put out that have directly criticized the corruption of the Ethiopian government. Because of that, some of his songs have actually been banned on a lot of major media outlets around 2002. It seemed that, in classic style, the banning of the album actually meant that more than 1 million copies were sold a few months after its release. And while this is a slower track, he also does mix a lot of reggae and pop music into his more traditional Ethiopian styles.
Thank you. Okoda Akwadaka
Kisha,
Akwadaka Malay,
Akwadaka Kali,
Akwadaka Deda,
Akwadaka Kisha,
Akwadaka Malay,
Akwadaka Kali,
Akwadaka Deda,
Akwadaka Kisha,
Akwadaka Malay,
Akwadaka Kali.
That track was by Roshan Madratom, called Endrikaya, and is an example of Kunama music, which is from the Kunama people from Eritrea. Before that, Selam Wit Gebru was the track Konjo Mujud. And now strap in and buckle up as we change the pace and go to a song by Kemer Yusuf, Nanawi.
Him the deep will learn it.
Also lucky enough to have Haftu translate some of a Tihuan Jasesi track for me, which we will hear from shortly. But before we do, I just wanted to give some context to Tihuan Jasesi, who has had an incredibly interesting life. He was really prominent during the 60s, which was considered for a lot of people to be the golden age of music for Ethiopia. He started his life in Addis Ababa in Ethiopia, and like many young budding musicians, was dealing with the dichotomy of having people at his school really urge him to leave Addis Ababa and go to Sudan to study music, while his family really urged him to focus on his academic studies. And so he kind of started out doing some theatre work at school, but quickly dropped out and decided he wanted to just travel to the capital city to pursue his dream as a musician. And doing so without his family's support, he left home one day and walked 15 kilometers to the closest town, Tulubolo. This attempted escape into the music world was initially unsuccessful. The next day he was forced to return to his grandfather. But Tihuan, with absolute determination, fled again, this time hiding himself in the back of a loaded truck, and finally began his journey to the capital. But from here, it was by no means a smooth progression as a musician. Like many musicians in Ethiopia at the time, he joined the Imperial Bodyguard Band. As Haftu was speaking about earlier, the line between military and music was quite blurred at this point, and there was definitely a lot of overlap between the military encouraging musicians to use their skills as a form of propaganda, and also in musicians finding that ways of getting work and getting seen were by being in these bands. And I can only imagine how complicated this relationship would have been to Tihuan. Even while singing in front of the emperor at the time, it's noted that the emperor advised him not to abuse his talent and, I suppose, become too popular, as a lot of people saw musical skill as a political tool. The military band he was in also has quite a dark history. It was formed in 1929 by a Swiss conductor and originally consisted purely of slaves from Welega, which is a province in the western part of Ethiopia. And given it began under the reins of a Swiss conductor, there was a lot of implementation of Western style into the music. For a while, the band was also under the power of the Derg government, which was the provisional military government of socialist Ethiopia, which was between 74 and 87. There is, of course, an incredibly long, interesting and culturally sensitive backstory to the conflict between Eritrea and Ethiopia, which has been going on for many, many years and has been through many different forms of conflict. But as a music podcast, I feel like it's not really my place to try give a 5-minute description of a 20-plus year civil war. But I will say that in understanding the music from Ethiopia and Eritrea, it's important to recognize the influence of music, military displacement, and politics that has been going on between them for many decades, and how music for this region has therefore often fluctuated between music for peace and music for protest, music for fighting, and how sometimes the line between all of these is not too clear, either to the audience or the musicians. And it's also interesting to note how Western influences have really come into play in this. Not only has the Western influence come in from, as usual, the UN, trying to put themselves into the conflict between Ethiopia and Eritrea, which has involved the mobilization of a lot of US, Canadian, European, and Russian forces being present in Ethiopia and Eritrea. But I guess this also leads us to realize how all of those countries would also have had musical influences by being present, and how their power structure would have played into what was taken up in Ethiopia and Eritrea in musical form. So before we hear this Tihuan Jasesi track, here is Haftu, giving us a translation.
Some of the songs which I selected last time is, one is Amharic. This is sung by Tulahan Gassasa. It is one of the most popular and famous Ethiopian singer. And he was singing for more than 55 years, 60 years. And in song, he is one of the most and most popular and famous in Ethiopia. He was dead in 2009. So no one is just like him. He's a very popular man. And the song is, the song says, Yehuete Hiwet. Minus, it's about love. It says, you are my everything. Without you, life is meaningless. You know, even there is, it says the lyrics that says that, even there is no a picture of you in my face, your love is always burning in my heart. Until I will die, I don't want to be separated from you, because you are my everything. It's just like that. You are a picture of love. You are my everything. So in every moment, I wish to name your to mention your name, because you are my everything, and that makes me happy. It's just like that.
But the challenge is the mission can't allow just below you. Come never,
Is our hour of Exile Radio today. Thank you so much to Haftu and all the people from Music Yard for collaborating with me on this one. I will provide links in the episode notes to where you can listen to Music Yard and support their music. Thank you everyone for listening, and I will see you next week.